This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105 Radio.
And I didn't really get a chance to introduce them because they were out in the green room and I was busy chatting to Les Ray and it all went wrong. But it's great to welcome back into the studio our well-being experts. We've got Ed Groenhart and Tanya Brint. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
How are you? All well since we last saw you?
Very well, thank
yes.
you.
I was going to say,
yes.
It's rather hopeful that you two are both well. So we were talking earlier about, or offline, we were talking about what we're going to do, lifestyle hacks and things like that, ways of sort of getting this whole fitness stuff that seems to be doing the rounds into your average life. Because what we see on telly and what we get told in magazines doesn't actually work for a lot of people, does it? So I'm quite proud of myself because I have been going down the gym for a couple of months now. So I wanted to kind of get your take on it and work out how people who perhaps are a bit more regimented in their daily lives, how they can get fit like I can. Because it does work, doesn't it, this exercise? I've got to say, it does work quite well, doesn't it?
What's it doing for you, Neil?
Well, you're right. We were just saying before, you sleep better, for starters, don't you? Because and you just generally, just everything, diet, your digest, everything just sort of kind of seems to fit in better. Everything seems to just be working, seems to hum along. Yeah. And I've lost weight.
Excellent, well done.
So, yeah, I'm feeling quite good with myself. I went to the gym this morning. I was telling the couple of listeners listening that I didn't. Unfortunately, I got home. And the idea being that I go home to shower and get my clothes on, because I don't like having my clothes all in the car. Go home, get showered, get dressed. Well, that didn't happen this morning, so you'll have to excuse me. I'm in the T-shirt I was down the gym in this morning. So.
I'm glad there's a few feet between us.
Yeah, I'm not... But how does it work for the average person, then? Because...
For the average person, I think, you know, you've mentioned it's time, isn't it? Mm. Time and sometimes money as well. Joining a gym is not necessarily cheap. And making the time in the day is hard. So what we wanted to really think about today is how we could build into a normal lifestyle, a busy lifestyle with working, kids or whatever it is, just little bits and bobs that you can do, which actually incrementally add up. Keep you fit.
So what are the numbers? How much exercise? What should we be doing? Because we are very sedentary nowadays, aren't we? We sit in front of our screens and push mice.
Yeah. And that's probably the biggest problem now, that actually life has become so convenient that we don't have to do anything other than or put stuff onto our tablet or phone. You can get your food delivered, so you don't have to even walk around the supermarket anymore.
That's the thing. Well, you could easily clock up a few miles in my day going around the supermarket a couple of times a week, couldn't you?
Yeah, or walking up and down the high street, and that sort of stuff has now become something that you might do for leisure at the weekend.
Yeah.
But you're not going to do it, you do the weekly shop maybe, but you quite often now do have the weekly shop delivered to your house. That's one area where that physicality of what you do can be eroded. But the thing to avoid is to avoid becoming a weekend warrior, where you end up just doing all your exercise on a Saturday or a Sunday, charging around the park, chasing a football or something like that. They're the sort of people that I can quite often end up seeing in my practice, because they end up with sprains and strains and all sorts of things like that. And then, of course, that's quite makes you feel quite despondent, because you think, I just got into starting that, and I do my football, and actually now I've got an injury, and that's knocked me back, and you fall into that trap. And then the hardest bit, like Tanya just said, was just getting started doing those little things. And really, I don't think you should put those that expectation on yourself too much of saying, oh yeah, I must do 30 minutes a day.
Right.
Because actually, as you were saying earlier, Neil, you can be surprised at what actually constitutes exercise.
Yeah, because I've got an Apple Watch, and I got it because originally I had a Fitbit, and in the early days of a Fitbit, it was just a row of blinky lights, and you started off the day with no blinky lights, and if by the end of the day you had five blinky lights, well done you'd done 10,000 steps. And it was that sort of blunt instrument. If you walked, it gave you points. Mm-hmm. If you didn't, then it didn't give you points. And I found actually that if you had it on your right hand and played guitar, you... you actually rack up quite a few points that way. But I thought, that's just cheating. But when that blew up, I thought, I kind of want something a bit cleverer than that. And the Apple Watch, the reason I got it was because of all the health apps that go with it. And it's interesting because there's three things it measures. It measures how often you stand up and it'll tell you if you haven't stood up in an hour. It'll go, oi, you should have stood up for just for a couple of minutes, but stand up, walk around. It goes, okay, you can sit down again now. You can set how many calories you want to burn, but you can't set a number of steps. And the one thing you can't adjust is how much exercise you're doing. And we mentioned this magic sort of half-hour figure. The Apple Watch likes you to do half an hour's exercise. And you think, well, okay, when I go down the gym like today, 29 and a half minutes into my routine, it goes, well done, you've done half an hour's exercise. But on another day, it can just suddenly buzz and go off. You think, really? What have I been doing? And you sort of look at your day and think, okay. So it measures exercise in a far more technical way. Mm-hmm. And as you say, I mean, I was in London the other day, and my goodness me, did I have a health kick that day, walking, trying to get around the underground, which you think would be bad for... It really wasn't. It was actually really very good for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is what we're looking at, is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing it that way.
Yeah, and I think it's great that you've got a tool, an app that sort of helps you recognise that and reminds you to stand up. But there are ways, you know, without having those... the technology, I guess, that we can just be getting the half an hour minimum exercise just by thinking a little bit more consciously about what we're doing. So just walking a little bit further by, for instance, getting off the bus earlier, or giving yourself an extra 5 minutes in the morning so you can actually walk the kids to school rather than get in the car. And
well,
that
would make life easier for everybody if everyone did that, wouldn't it? Cambridge's transport problems would be solved in one.
Yeah, but consciously thinking, well, I could take the easy route here, or actually I could add it to my, you know, my quota for the day. And incrementally you can build up little bits of physical exercise without it being a big effort, without, you know, as Ed was saying, you know, these big goals that we set ourselves and then we instantly fall over because they're just too big. And
I'm glad we're talking about this now, because typically you'd say, well, this is a conversation we'll be having in January, but there was no way I was going to start going down the gym in January. No. Forget it. No. But I don't mind going down on it. It was nice and sunny this morning. It was 7:30. And you actually feel really rather good with yourself when you're up and out and down the gym. So now's a good time to be doing it. There's gardening and there's loads of things like that that you can be doing,
yes,
isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And as you said, if you get off the bus earlier, it's unlikely to be raining on you quite so often. At least the rain's warmer nowadays. So what is it all just about exercise, or are there other tricks within this that you can do?
I think that you can very much tailor it to what you do on a day-to-day, what your routine is like. So say with myself, my routine now is very different to what it was 10-15 years ago. I do wonder now how I used to feel that I was busy before I had children. Now I've got two
welcome
small
to
children,
that world.
7 and 5, and life seems to run at such a pace, and everything is logistically timed almost, you know, for 6 days of the week. And so it is about finding the little gap where you can do something. Like the other day, I realised that my 5-year-old is actually my personal trainer, because I was doing a few stretches first thing in the morning, and he looked at me and he went, Daddy, why don't you do a few press-ups as well? So I just went, okay, you know, we'll start doing a few press-ups as well. And of course he showed me up and started, you know, did 20 quite quickly. But little things like that, you build them into your day. You don't have to necessarily structure it and say, oh, you know, this is going to be my half hour where I do it, or that's going to be my half hour when I do it. Because when you reflect, you will find that you're actually doing more than you thought, and then that will positively rebound on you. That will give you the positive feedback that then makes you think, you know what, actually, I'm going to make sure that rather than once the kids are in bed sitting down and sticking the telly on, I'm going to do 20 minutes on the treadmill, or I'm going to nip out with the dog for that extra walk that I promised it.
I was going to say, it's things like that, walking the dogs and that. It's we don't, do we? I mean, I'm looking at you two thinking, no, they're younger than you, Neil. When I was young, life was an awful lot more manual. You did, I mean, the cars weren't as common. You did, it just seemed life. My mum used to go down to the shops every day, and I would go with her, and I would probably have walked a mile, you know, because we did have a fridge, but we didn't have a freezer and things like that. You would go out and get fresh groceries every day. So every day you're probably walking a mile and a half.
Yeah.
And hopefully we've brought some of that with us. I still think there's a bit of muscle memory and everything left in me from when I was young. But it worries me about the kids, because I remember my young son, and he was 18 once. He challenged me to an arm wrestle, and I beat him, and I said, you know what, that's not good. You're 18. You should be beating me. I'm getting old now. You should be beating me. And I worry for our younger generation. So we do, when you say about walking the kids, walking the dog, are we talking, you know, we're doing it for them as well, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I was at my son's school a couple of weeks ago doing a talk about healthy habits, and they'd done a whole week about it. And it was great to see sort of these year twos. They really knew a lot about it. It was fresh in the memory, you know, what they needed to do. But then you already start to see it creeping back in. And I'm just as guilty, you know. It's like you get up in the morning and you think, oh, we're really tight for time here. We better drive. And, you know, park a bit further away, because I don't like getting the whole scrum in front of the school. Park a bit further away and walk. But actually, if we just, you know, tidied things up a little bit, we probably could have cycled or walked. And it's setting that example to kids and keeping that at the forefront of their mind, that exercise can't be optional. PE is at the bottom of the national curriculum, unfortunately, and gets eroded back at secondary school beyond where I think is reasonable. But it's still up to that child who's becoming an adult to start to take responsibility and see that physical exercise isn't optional, and it's not something to be concerned about in terms of, oh, you know, how will I look if I go out and go for a jog or something like that. Just do something at home, you know.
What about things like your average health? Should you get, we're talking about this, even given that you're just talking about sort of little lifestyle tweaks, how essential is it to just get yourself checked over first before, you know, because my friend of mine, he said, well, I just notice I get a bit out of breath and a little bit tight across the chest when I walk into work in the morning, because he parks out on the backs in Cambridge and walks in, and he wound up having a triple heart bypass. You know, you presumably do have to be careful in any stage of this.
I think what we're talking about, there's two sides to this, and there's going to the gym and having a, you know, definitely if you've got any twinges or anything, you should get yourself checked out. But in terms of normal movement and moving for that half an hour a day,
which should be walking
and lifting, maybe some gardening, and unless it's really strenuous, it should be within everybody's capabilities. Otherwise, there is, you know, they do need to be checked out, because this is just normal movement, keeping moving, and that flexibility.
Okay, so having young kids is a good thing. Having pets is a good thing. Gardening's a good thing. What else? Anything else on that?
I think you should really look for things that you love doing. So that could be dancing, it could be walking out and, you know, getting all the benefit of the vitamin D, or, as you said, going to the shop, which is, you know, you're buying local rather than, you know, and all the good things that sort of encourages. It could be something messing about on the water, like canoeing or kayaking or something like that. You know, there's so much people can do if they think about what do I like doing? And, you know, think outside the box.
And if you look around Cambridge, so much of that is available and free, isn't it? There's plenty of exercise routes on parks and things like that. There's so much of it around here that's free. Okay, things to watch out for?
I think, well, we've already just discussed that, really. You've got to be careful. If you can't get up the stairs without getting severely out of breath, you're going to need to go and get checked by a medical practitioner first. You're going to make sure that you are fit to push your boundaries a little bit, because you will need to push yourself a little bit. And if you're uncertain in any way, you need to be checked over and to ensure that you're not working towards a bigger problem. I think the other thing to watch out for is making that aim, whatever target you've got, making it too big and sort of saying to yourself, oh yeah, I'm gonna end up doing the London Marathon next year. You can set yourself up to fail if you make that make it too big. You've got to look at it very carefully. If you're aiming for something like that, fantastic. Not, you know, I'm not saying don't aim for the London Marathon or don't aim for the Great North Run or something like that. But if you are going to do that, you've got to seriously consider how much time you've got to commit to it, who you're going to have help you, because you can't just go and do it all by yourself. You're going to need someone to help you, even just for advice on running shoes and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this all sounds very good. So, Tanya, you were going to say?
I was just going to add to the, you know, if we work on the basis, I work with a lot of clients who are trying to get into better lifestyles. And one of the things we always, you know, agree really is just stick to like two or three things a week maximum that you can do differently, consciously and differently. Because if you try and do too much all at once, like running a marathon or whatever it is, then you're going to fail. So just little tweaks and build on them weekly.
Well, I mean, my own personal story was I thought, this is ridiculous, I'm not going to do this in January. I had a well man in March, which I think it was March, maybe beginning of March, and I came out of it very well. And I thought, good. But it was like, well, you need to do some exercise to keep yourself in that shape. So I thought, okay, well, I can take a hint. And I decided that I did need to do a gym, because, as we said, they can be expensive. But I thought, you know what? If I don't drink so much wine and use that money to pay a gym membership, you know what? And it works both ways. So, yeah, so the gym membership's paid for. Don't drink as much wine. And my other half gets up early in the week. So I thought, you know what? Rather than just lying in bed going, can you make not quite so much noise as you're going out to work, actually get up too and go down the gym twice a week, and it's amazing how much better you do for it. You do get the results really quite quickly, don't you? Well, I think as well, these apps and things, I'm probably quite a competitive person, and I think an app telling me that I've got a very active lifestyle, I'm happy. Today I checked it, I've just come back off 2 weeks holiday, I'm down to just active. And you're thinking, hang on.
Oh, you can move that down.
I can get that back up to very active with it. So a little bit of me is driven by that. And an app telling me I'm slacking, right, I'm having you. So, right.
That's so right. Accountability.
But it does work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does work, and it is important.
It does. But you don't need it. I think that's the point. You don't need to have an app. It's great, and it plays to your
I know what I'm like.
That's great. But I just think if everybody can move a bit more and do a bit more, then we'd all be a lot healthier and happier. I think that's the thing. It makes you feel good, doesn't it?
It does. And I do just worry that we do sit around so much more than we did when we were younger. Linda Wilkin also saying, we also learned to be patient as well. Yes, we did when we were younger. Nothing ever happened quite as much. Absolutely true. Yeah. All right, well, it's been lovely to see you both. Thank you very much indeed for coming in. We're going to continue our life hacks over the next few weeks and months. So, but for now, it's exercise. I shall be going back down the gym on Monday, he said, smugly. And we'll see you two very soon. For now, Edgar and Hart, Tanya Brint, thanks very much indeed for coming in.
Thank you.